Now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A. It's Talk of the Town. Today is the Thursday Roundtable. Talk of the Town is sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Cottonwood Area Transit, Barrett Propane, Augie's Restaurant, Cliff Castle Casino, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
Well, I'd like to tell you that it's the Doomsday Edition of Talk of the Town here on your Thursday Roundtable, and judging from the consumption of toilet paper in the Quad City area, I would have to say that either the folks in this area have really, really serious digestion problems requiring so much of this hard-to-find toilet tissue that it's just leaping off the shelves, or maybe folks here in the Quad Cities have found some new way of inoculating themselves from potential viruses via the use of toilet paper. I have no idea what on earth is going on with you people listening on the radio right now. But if you're planning on going running out right now to go get toilet paper, I'm just telling you, relax. Plenty of toilet paper to go around. You don't have to take the last bit of toilet paper that there is. Leave some for the next person. Unless you're one of those opportunistic price gougers who sees the opportunity to grab all the hand sanitizer you can find and then get on eBay and try and sell it for $100 a gallon or something. And if that's the case, then shame on you. The fact is that last night, I had one of the more unusual experiences, and I've had many in the world of sports, but last night was really one for the books. And that was, my wife and I were at the game last night featuring the Northern Arizona Suns against the Salt Lake City Stars. And the game pretty much progressed at the beginning the way all the other games have, where they announce the players for the visiting team, then they announce our players with all the hoopla and everything, and then everybody goes back to their benches, and the players are supposed to go out to center court. Their referees are then supposed to throw the ball up, and we start playing basketball. Well, that didn't happen last night. They announce the players, and then someone from the locker room area with a phone to his ear ran onto the court in street clothes and said something to the both benches, and there was a lot of discussion going on amongst the players and the coaches and so forth. And eventually, after a few minutes, the Salt Lake City team gradually made its way off the floor. And after they left, gradually the Northern Arizona Suns, after a couple of Suns went back and forth to the back room and then back out again, they all gradually left the floor. And the music continued to play like we were getting ready to play basketball at some point. And then after a few minutes, they brought the cheerleaders out and said, okay, who wants T-shirts? And they started throwing T-shirts into the audience. And we were really kind of scratching our heads saying, what on earth is the holdup here? Well, we soon found out what the holdup was, and it was that two of the players on the Salt Lake City Stars, the opposition for the Suns last night, two of those players were on the bench for the Utah Jazz up with the big club the night before, and it turns out one of the members of the Utah Jazz, center Rudy Gobert, tested positive for the coronavirus. And so as a preventative measure, the thought was that they were going to keep those players off the court. Well, then in the middle of all this hugga-mugga, while we're trying to figure out what's going on, I get a text message on my phone that the NBA canceled or suspended the remainder of the regular season. And I looked at that and I go, well, I guess there's not much point in sitting here much longer. And so Terry and I basically, we got up and we went to the car and we went home. About halfway home, I got text messages from a couple people I saw at the arena and saying, where did you go? And I said, we left, leave now. And then the announcement came roughly, I think, 35 minutes after game time, sometime around 5 after 7, they made the announcement that the season had been canceled. And, you know, thank you very much. Good night. And it wasn't long after that that we heard the same thing from the National Hockey League, except the National Hockey League did it a little differently. Instead of saying they're canceling the season or postponing it or whatever, the announcement that I got from the Coyotes was that the Coyotes hockey season was being put on pause. Like we were like watching it on one big DVR. They paused the Coyotes season, and they're trying to determine what to do. Now, the thing about the Coyotes is they play the game on ice in a very cold arena where viruses, generally speaking, do not like to travel at all. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have called off the games or postponed the season or, you know, whatever. But I did have kind of a thought when Major League Baseball then came in and said, well, we're going to postpone our season. We're cutting off spring training immediately, and we're going to postpone our season at least 2 weeks. And I thought to myself, you know, maybe we're being a little hasty here. What if we allowed people to come in and populate every other row so that there was at least one row in between each row of people? And I would even go as far as to say, let's all sit in the odd-numbered seats only. Then at least half the people would be able to see the game. I'm just saying. But it's probably easier to just say, okay, psh, cut it off, done. So anyway, we will, of course, keep you very informed on what's going on. Tomorrow at about 4:10, we have Luke Lipinski from the Arizona Coyotes who'll be joining us live to explain exactly what the plans are for the Coyotes and for the NHL. And Luke is very informative on that sort of thing. And a little bit later on in today's show, I've got a fascinating conversation with the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, David Rubin. I recorded that interview about an hour and a half ago to talk about what is going on with regard to the state of Israel and the coronavirus, and most specifically the development of the coronavirus vaccine, which Israel is on the cutting edge of. And so David Rubin will be joining us from Israel to tell us exactly where things stand with regard to the development of the coronavirus vaccine. So really, really important that you listen in starting at 4:30. Now, if you want to make sure that the town of Prescott Valley gets every dime that it is entitled to from state shared revenue, then you better make sure you stand up and get counted. And the census is the most important and vital way that that happens. We all have a very important part to play in that sort of thing. So we will have Laura Lee Nye joining us here momentarily to talk about the 2020 census and let us know exactly where things stand with that. Of course, here on KQ&A, we've been able to give you pretty good updates in terms of how that takes place. So stick around. That will be coming your way here shortly. And so without any further ado, we are going to take a quick break. And Laura Lee and I will join us live here in studio to talk Prescott Valley Census 2020. So don't go away. That's all happening here on KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at KQ&A.com.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. When you see one of our trucks rolling down the road in Yavapai County, that's not just a fresh tank of propane. That's the warmth a family will feel this winter. The heat that'll cook their meals, wake them up to hot coffee, and dry the clothes they wear. For three generations, people have associated our name with the comfort provided by clean burning propane. 67 years of touching the lives of families in Yavapai County. You can find out more at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
It's the $250,000 Zoom Ball cash giveaway, and it's bouncing into Cliff Castle Casino Hotel. Saturdays in March and April from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. every hour, one lucky guest will have a chance to play Zoom Ball. Get six red balls and win $250,000 in cash. Start earning entries for your chance to win and zoom in every Saturday in March and April for the $250,000 Zoom Ball cash giveaway. Only at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel.
Must be 21 and a Players Club member to participate. See Players Club for details.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance, someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 Whites Bar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Hey, Bruce, what are you doing?
I'm waiting for the Catmobile.
The Catmobile? Do you mean Diverti Lynx?
Not so loud, Rudy. It's just a disguise. No Mere Bus runs 7 days a week, providing commuter service between Cottonwood and Sedona.
Diverti Lynx does.
That's because it's really the Catmobile. Here it comes now, prowling the streets of the Verde Valley to keep us safe. You can check it out yourself at www.ridecat.com. But don't tell anybody.
Do you want a chance to win a free lunch at Prescott Brewing Company? Just check our website or follow us on Facebook to find out this week's lucky lunch letters. We draw them every Friday, and if the letters we draw match your first and last name initials, yay, you win a free lunch the following Tuesday. Or find out the old-fashioned way, just pick up the phone and call us at 771-2795. Prescott Brewing Company, in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Cheers to 25 years.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Reprographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Reprographics today.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And Laura Lee and I from the town of Prescott Valley is here with me to talk about the 2020 census. Very important process here. Not only are we counting heads, but literally the way in which Prescott Valley is represented both in the state and at the federal level really depends a lot on getting everybody counted, right?
Right. And I'm asking every citizen out there to be really proactive. And before I tell you why, I'm just going to share our town's mission statement because it pretty well explains why. The mission of the town of Prescott Valley is to inspire and sustain a dynamic, innovative, and prosperous community through the combined talents of our citizenry. Well, I want you to take those combined talents and I want you to get out there and I want you to understand how to manage the census. For the very first time, we have three options for responding. You can do it online, by phone, or by mail. Now, people are going to say, but I don't go online when we talk about that option. Guess what? All you have to do is go to our fabulous library, and that's all going to be available.
And you can go online for free.
And you can go online for free.
Right.
And I'll give you a telephone number to contact them if that is your choice. Of course, it's 928-759-3040. And if you are not very proactive about this, we probably won't be able to build some of the new highways that we know we're going to need. We won't be able to repair some roads. Guess what? A lot of you want a community center. Well, we do have that in our plan, but we're counting on all of you to get out there and be counted.
How much, in dollars and cents, how much does each citizen being counted represent in terms of Prescott Valley's share of the state shared revenue?
Get ready. Hold on to your seat. $3,000.
$3,000.
Per individual.
$3,000.
$3,000.
So just think for a minute. If you're listening, think for a minute. If we fail to count 1,000 people, all right, at $3,000, you're talking about $3 million bucks that the town of Prescott Valley will not get. And you still got to live here. If you're not counted, you still got to live here. But the town is missing $3 million bucks that they could use to, you know, for parks or library or all kinds of stuff.
And, you know, there's other things we can use it for. We can use it to help support our foster care system. A lot of people don't think about those things. And to provide medical service. And you know what else we use the census stats for? I'll bet you know this, Stephen. We use all that data that we will get to know when to add new jobs and how to be competitive in hiring, about pay decisions, when and where to open new stores and offices. And what's that all about? It's to meet the needs of our residents.
Yeah.
So if you don't get counted, then don't come asking for things.
All right. So with you mentioned the three ways, the by mail, the online, and the phone. Now, there actually is a fourth way. There actually is a fourth way. Because if you don't respond to the online, the mail, or the phone, well, guess what? You get the census taker showing up at your house.
And I may be one of them.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, you know, people have been taking the census in person, you know, for, you know, hundreds of years.
Yes.
So we're just trying to make it easier for you to get counted for Prescott Valley. But so basically what they're looking at, and you know, tell me if this is right, they basically have a map of the whole town of Prescott Valley. Every domicile has an address. And so they are putting a count, a number,
yep,
with a name and everything, yep, else on each individual home and apartment, mobile home, and so forth. And so once they get through and do all the easy ones with the mail and the online, mm-hmm, the phone, then they go back and they look at the map and go, okay, we're here now on Ned Court, and this house we got no report from,
yep,
so we are going to go to that house and knock on the door and make sure that these people get counted. Is that I know it's an oversimplification, but isn't that what happens?
It's direct and to the point. And let me add to that, the doors have already been knocked on. I would like to think they found everyone at home because they've been working on this for weeks. I happened to be home when my door was knocked on, and they just asked three quick questions. And it was kind of a pre-census type database that they're utilizing to make sure everyone is counted.
Do you remember what the three questions were?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
They asked me, the really important one was how many people reside here. Okay. That was the biggie. And they wanted to know how long we had resided at that address. And they wanted to know, are you going to be counted?
Okay.
And I smiled at the gentleman and I said, if it would work, I'd be counted twice. It's so darned important. And then he got this shocked look on his face. And he says, oh, ma'am, we can't talk about that.
That's like the vote early, vote often thing, right? Yeah.
But I enjoyed his reaction. And of course, I was being humorous. But the point is, there's never been a time in the history of our community that the count was going to make the size of difference it's going to make. And I'd like to tell you, you know, Sanford, we were miscounted last time.
Undercounted.
Undercounted. That's right. We were. We have no doubt of that whatsoever. And we made a fuss about it, and we tried to have it managed and weren't successful in doing that. Well, we will be successful this time because we were heard and extraordinary measures have already been taken, plus the pre-knocks on the doors.
So now, the economic development people at the town of Prescott Valley have been rubbing their crystal ball for years, mm-hmm. trying to get a handle on the population growth in the town of Prescott Valley on a year-by-year basis. And they always, when they give you a number, it's always approximate. I think there might have been a mid-decade census that took place because Prescott Valley had so much growth right. in the early part of the 2000s, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So is there already kind of a projection in mind as to what the final tally might look like in terms of Prescott Valley's population?
Here's my prediction. If it isn't over 50,000, just slightly over, I will owe you your favorite meal.
Really? Over 50 grand?
I think it will be.
Wow.
Isn't
that something? That is just something.
Well, guess what? We have something that, of course, we do in our community, and we install water meters for every new, and we kind of do an average. And that gives us pretty solid knowledge, Sanford, about the size of our community.
Now, is there a point beyond which they will stop counting? In other words, if we have people that are building houses that are currently under construction that may not get occupied till like September or October or something like that, is there like a cutoff date beyond which they won't get counted? Or is there a supplemental thing to the count?
I am not aware of that possibility, but let me tell you about those people that I know about, they're already renting here somewhere mm-hmm. else. And so the majority of them, regardless of whether they've moved in to their final residence, will be counted. And actually, our developers have been working with us and tell them how important it is their count is. And our realtors, they've all joined us and made a big difference for us in this.
Let's take a quick break. We're talking with Laura Lean Eye from the town of Prescott Valley about Census 2020. Make sure you count for the town of Prescott Valley. We'll be right back a little bit later on. The mayor of Shiloh, Israel, David Rubin, joins me for an exclusive interview regarding the coronavirus vaccine that is currently under development in the state of Israel and how that country is coping with what basically you and I are coping with here in America. Stay tuned. That's coming up here on Talk of the Town, KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. We'll be right back.
You home already?
Yeah, it's just too nasty to be out and about. I think I'll just have Olson's for Healthy Animals in Prescott deliver the stuff we need.
What's that? Pet food deliveries?
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals, and yes, you heard that right. Pet food, pet supply, and bird seed deliveries within 10 miles of our Prescott store to your door, and delivery is free on orders over $25. You just call our Prescott store at 445-1664, give our cashier your order, pay by credit card, and we'll have it to you the same day if you order in the morning before we leave.
Okay, but don't you want to see us in your store?
Yeah, but sometimes you just can't make it here when you need the food and other goodies. Or you just need some muscle to load it into the storage bins at your house. This delivery service will take care of that. And once again, it's free on deliveries over $25 within 10 miles of Olson's Prescott store. And as an added bonus, you'll get Olson's Good Enough Just Isn't service because we have an incredible delivery driver. See you at your house.
Hey, Bruce, what are you doing?
I'm waiting for the Catmobile.
The Catmobile? Do you mean Diverti Links?
Not so loud, Rudy. It's just a disguise. No Mere Bus runs 7 days a week, providing commuter service between Cottonwood and Sedona.
Diverti Links does.
That's because it's really the Catmobile. Here it comes now, prowling the streets of the Verde Valley to keep us safe. You can check it out yourself at www.ridecat.com. But don't tell anybody.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted Gettle.
And this is Adam Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers. You know, Adam, winter is almost over.
Yeah, Ted, it's a good time to get your AC ready for summer.
My AC's fine. You're talking about the listeners, right?
Picky, picky. Okay, all you listeners, let Gettles get you prepared for summer.
You mean get your AC prepared for summer.
Oh, brother.
That's me.
Say bye-bye winter and get ready for summer with a Gettles AC system checkup. Don't settle. Get Gettles. G-O-E-T-T-L. Visit GettlesHDM.com.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And back with Laura Lee and I from the town of Prescott Valley. And are you still the vice mayor?
I am.
Oh, okay. I was
going
to say.
I'm going into, let's see. In June, I'll go into my fifth year of being straight vice mayor.
Almost Scoog-like, the way that you've
I retire, I will be just short of 18 years serving. And what a joy and how delightful and never bored this experience was.
And thank you for your service. I know you also serve on the NACOG board and a number of other things in town that don't end up in the box score, but it's very important.
I have been the chair of NACOG for the last 2 years, and I'll finish that term up in June. What you might not know is that I chaired the Northern Arizona Head Start for the four
also
counties.
Important program.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's one of the programs that's going to benefit from the census being counted properly. So that's why I'm mentioning it.
All right. So now the important thing for people to know is that none of their personal data will be shared with anyone in terms of law enforcement or immigration or any other that kind of stuff. And I know they're probably sitting at home thinking, yeah, sure, right. No, this is, as far as the federal law is concerned, they are not allowed to do anything with any of this information other than provide the count. That is what this is all about.
You're dead on, Sanford. It's a federal crime. Does anybody want to even guess what kind of a sentence and what kind of a cell is in a federal prison? No, I don't think they're going to risk it.
All right, so now the reminders, the postcards are in the mail. Right. And so folks are starting to see those. And again, basically they're encouraging them to respond either online or by phone.
Yep.
Is the library alternative also,
or
by mail, right? That's right. By mail, online. Is the library alternative also on that postcard, do you know? Or is that something that we're...
I don't think so because that comes from the federal government.
So that's something we are letting people know here.
And that's why we're doing this show today.
You bet.
And I want to give them that number again.
Sure.
928-759-3040. And that's if you want to go online and you want to talk to someone at the library. If you just have questions, call 928-759-3100, and they'll make sure your questions get answered. That's up in the administrative office on the fourth floor in Town Hall.
And I can tell you that the town of Prescott Valley has made getting this count done accurately a huge priority, and you can just feel it, just the way the staff has gone about making sure that the word gets out that not just that the census is here and it's time to take it, but how timely it is to get yourself counted because of how it directly impacts the community in so many different and valuable ways. And that's very important for people to know.
You know what? I'm going to take it as word stronger. It's critical. Here's one of the things we could do more than what we're doing now is expand and diversify our water resources. Why would you not want to be counted so we could do that? Why would you not want to maintain a safe community? We're growing. We're going to have to hire additional officers. We're going to have a correct count to make sure we can do that. And guess what? Who doesn't want us to improve the infrastructure? You know, I would like to tell you that we can manage that with our budget as it is now. It is impossible because we're going to continue to grow. And we were so undercounted last time around that we still have to not only pinch every penny after we've stretched it, we have to double ask ourselves, is this the best possible time to spend this dollar?
I know we've only got a couple minutes left, but I did want to ask you about the retirement of Larry Tarkowski. Larry, I mean, if there was any one person besides Harvey Skoog that has been synonymous with the town of Prescott Valley over the last couple of decades, it's Larry Tarkowski, starting with what I would call the Tarkowski miracle, where we retrofitted the entire town with a sewer system and paved all the roads and did it under budget and returned money back to the property owners, which is still amazing when Larry was with Public Works. And then he's had a very successful run as town manager through some very dicey economic times, I might add. I'm sure that that's someone who will have some big shoes to fill there at the town of PV.
Well, let me answer your question this way, something you may not know about me. I was an executive on loan to three mayors and three police chiefs in Phoenix before I moved up here. I never, ever had the degree of positiveness and understood how to make things happen that Larry Tarkowski has managed. I have been privileged to work with him closely. Before I was an elected official, I was on the Streets and Infrastructure Commission. So I've got a long history, and I'm glad that I'm not going to be there in responsible position once he's gone. It is going to be a difficult time for all of us. And guess what? The man has the wackiest sense of humor that can help you through the darkest, toughest decisions.
Well, again, I really do appreciate you coming out and sharing with us the news about the census, how important it's going to be that everyone in Prescott Valley stand up and be counted. And again, you have a chance to respond either by mail or by phone or online. And ultimately, there will be a census taker out to see you. Of course, if you don't have access to a computer, you can go to the Prescott Valley Library and be able to access online absolutely free. And if you have any questions at all, just call the town of Prescott Valley. They will find somebody that will have all the answers for you. And Vice Mayor Laura Lee Nye, thank you not only for what you've done and what you continue to do and for coming in and helping us out on such a dreary day to bring a little sunshine to the folks here on the radio.
Well, I loved being here with you. And on behalf of the town, I want to thank you for this opportunity and the other opportunities that you've helped us with this. I actually came in and made a recording, which I have yet to have heard, but I'm told that it was utilized.
All right, we are going to take a break for the news, and then I have a great interview coming up with David Rubin, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, recorded it about 2 hours ago, and it's the most up-to-date information regarding the development of the coronavirus vaccine in the state of Israel, and we'll also get a look at how they're coping with the coronavirus and the quarantines and everything else that's going on. A fascinating look at what's happening at the state of Israel right now. And we've got some lessons we can learn here in the U.S. from that. And that'll be coming up after the news right here on Talk of the Town, KQ&A, AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. We'll be right back.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service, Sales, and Rentals, and we're proud to be a long-time local business with three locations to serve you. Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley and Dewey, and online all the time at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
we're told that staying in the moment is one path to a happy life. The Breast Care Center at Yavapai Regional Medical Center is here to help you on that journey. Rest assured that when it comes to your breast health, YRMC's Breast Care Center sets the standard of excellence in our community. What does that mean to you? It means state-of-the-art screening technology, exceptional and experienced providers, a compassionate and supportive team. And if you need it, YRMC's Breast Care Center is ready with the most advanced diagnostic studies and customized treatment options. Staying in the moment. Inspired by you.
How many Augie's locations are there worldwide? Well, the answer, of course, is one. The one and only Augie's, locally owned, locally operated, locally inspired by you, the people of the Quad Cities. Delicious steak, scrumptious salmon, huge shrimp cocktail, the best martinis bar none. Open every day for lunch and dinner, the place to dine on Highway 69. The one and only Augie's Frontier Village.
We're KQ&A.
Thanks for joining KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm DJ Phone with your Thursday check of local and state news and weather together. Brought to you by Affinity RV. In a rare bipartisan action, the Arizona legislature passes a bill allocating $50 million for the state health department's emergency health fund. The House unanimously passed the bill, which couldn't be more timely given the coronavirus pandemic, and Governor Doug Ducey's issued state of emergency for Arizona. Tempe Democrat Athena Salmon says time is of the essence.
This is a matter of life or death for people in our communities, and we need to make sure that this is the first step, but that we are being on the front end, that we are being proactive, and that we're doing everything we can to save lives.
Senator Kate Brophy McGee's original bill extended DHS for 8 years. Representative Nancy Bartow's amendment taps the $50 million from the Rainy Day Fund. Any unspent funding would go back into that fund. The bill has an emergency clause, which would immediately become law upon Governor Ducey's signature. Showers and storms, some could be heavy, continuing tonight through Saturday morning, chilling to an overnight low near 38 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt, warming only to a rainy, windy 46 tomorrow, clearing to 52 Saturday, a sunny 57 Sunday. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, those same showers and storms, chilling after bedtime tonight to a very wet 44, highs of a breezy and wet 55 tomorrow, a partly sunny 61 Saturday, sunny and 67 Sunday. Your KQ&A News and Weather this hour is a service of Affinity RV. Have a great Thursday evening and stay tuned. Talk of the Town, the Thursday Roundtable, will continue in a moment on KQ&A.
I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle brothers. From Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
Home of the once-in-a-lifetime experience.
What do you mean, Ted?
On average, people are going to buy a new furnace or AC unit once in their lifetime.
So they might as well buy the best.
Yeah, because if our name's on it, we want you to be comfortable.
For a lifetime.
Go to GettlesHDM.com. That's G-O-E-T-T-L. The guys and gals at Gettle's get it. Got it? Good.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Rippographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Rippographics today.
Some things are just better together.
March is the best time to fertilize with all-purpose plant food from Waters Garden Center.
But pair the all-purpose with humic acid, and it's a 1-2 punch of garden power.
Humic acid gives your soil organic matter that helps plants' roots receive water and nutrients.
So it makes fertilizer work even better.
Like salt and pepper.
Coffee and donuts.
And hey, you and me.
Aw, thanks, Ken.
All-purpose plant food and humic acid, better together, and only at Waters Garden Center.
Everyone's talking about Augie's Restaurant.
Augie's has the best appetizers and the best martinis ever.
It's got a really great atmosphere, a real homey feeling when you go in there. They got a great service staff that takes care of you from when you walk in to when you leave.
It's warm, it's friendly, it's fun, it's home away from home.
Chef Joel, best chef ever.
Check out Augie's. It's the place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And we'd like to welcome back to Talk of the Town here on KQ&A, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, David Rubin, who rejoins us here on the Thursday roundtable. Mayor Rubin, it's great to have you back with us.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you, Sanford.
So I guess the first thing we want to talk about is the travel restriction situation as it applies to the state of Israel, because Israel here recently embarked on, I guess, what one would consider to be an all-encompassing policy, which would require any visiting foreign national or returning Israeli to endure a mandatory 14-day quarantine. Do I have that correct, or are there exceptions to that?
No, that is correct. There are no exceptions. The new regulations are very, very clear that there is no person who is allowed to enter the country, whether it's an Israeli or a not Israeli or a non-Israeli citizen, without entering 14 days of isolation.
Now, how has this been received by the general population there in Israel?
Well, it's actually been received in a fairly positive way, very, very few exceptions. Let me just give you a little background here. Israel is a tiny country, perhaps even smaller than the state of New Jersey, and we have a relatively dense population. So these are conditions that you would think would be very conducive to the spread of the virus. And therefore, because we're a country that is also constantly under attack and under threat of attack from terrorism and war, we've learned to be very, very disciplined in times of crisis and to follow instructions in a time of crisis. So that's actually a reason why we are very well equipped to meet the challenge from the coronavirus. So the steps that you just mentioned about having the 14-day quarantine every single person who enters the country, our entire school system has just been closed down. All learning will be done by remote. So those are just some examples of the steps that are being taken.
Now, what is the latest news, as you understand it, regarding the development of a vaccine for the coronavirus in Israel?
Well, that is something that's actually a very positive note, a very encouraging bit of information. There is a team of scientists in the north of Israel that has been hard at work for about 4 years now in developing a vaccine against the coronavirus, but not the same coronavirus, the coronavirus that affects poultry. They have a vaccine. They've developed a vaccine. And what they're trying to do right now is to adapt the vaccine for humans. So just so you understand how this works, the genetics of the poultry coronavirus are very similar to the coronavirus that's found in humans and that we're all trying to deal with right now frantically. And it uses the same infection mechanism. So all that's needed is for it to be adapted for the use with humans.
That is a positive step, truly. And already there's been reaction to the development or potential development of an Israeli vaccine from members of the Arab community that have said that they would rather take their chances with the virus than get a vaccine from Israel.
Right. Well, if they're so foolish that they would let their anti-Semitism, anti-Israelism, to prevent them from being cured, well, that's actually very much a shame. But it would greatly surprise me if they actually would take that stand, the anti-Israel people would take such a stand if Israel actually developed that vaccine to the virus. But it may be coming very soon. Goal is to produce the vaccine over the next 6 weeks, and then hopefully, if that's achieved, then also to get safety approval in about 90 days. Very possible, highly possible, that if we get to that point, that the Israeli science community and the governmental authorities will help to fast-track the whole process.
Here in the United States, the big news today is the suspension of some of our major league sports programs, basketball, hockey, the delay of the baseball season. What has the state of Israel done with regard to its internal policies with large gatherings and things like that in the wake of the coronavirus situation?
Well, all of the above, as well as there is no handshaking in public, no physical contact in public. It's all been very clearly laid out for people. There are not to be any gatherings of 100 people or more. And as I said, all the schools have been closed. All the universities have been closed. And kindergartens and nurseries, well, we're going to be getting instructions about that pretty soon. But everything is being geared now towards people just being at home with their families and going through their regular routine as much as possible, but doing it as much as possible from home.
Well, let's take a couple moments away from the virus and talk about the political situation in Israel. We just recently endured yet another election, and depending on your news sources, there's been a variety of different reactions to the way in which the Likud vote went and the potential coalitions that are possible. Has there really been any difference in the outcome of this election as opposed to, let's say, the last two that you've had within a span of less than 2 years?
Well, the reaction is different for a few reasons. First of all, Prime Minister Netanyahu had a clear victory. He's still having trouble forming a majority coalition, but he clearly won the vote. There's not even a question that he's the one who should be prime minister. So that is different from the previous deadlocked election. And now there's the additional pressure. The coronavirus has been added on to all of the other challenges that we face, challenges of terrorism, challenges of war, challenges of the Iranian nuclear program. All of these challenges are hanging over our heads, and now the coronavirus on top of that. So there is very heavy pressure on having an emergency unity government formed that will bring together as many of the political parties, many of the diverse political parties together for at least a short period of time to deal with this immediate crisis and hopefully to deal with some of the other crises that Israel faces.
As far as the economy of Israel is concerned, have there been noticeable effects on the domestic economy or is Israel faring maybe as well or better than most with regard to the aftermath of the initial shock, I guess, of the coronavirus?
Well, the economy is doing fairly well, although if this crisis goes on for too long, then it's going to do serious damage to the economy. Israel is an economy that is industry. We have high technology. There is a lot in the Israeli economy. But tourism is also a very big part of the Israel. And this crisis has devastated the tourist industry because there are no tourists coming at all at this in order to deal with the crisis. So it's going to seriously hurt the economy, or at least over the short term.
Has there been any discussion there in Israel with regard to the government coming in and maybe making some short-term loans available to the industries and the companies that have maybe bore the brunt of the impact from this health scare? I know there's been a lot of talk about that here in the U.S., and I wonder if any discussion along those lines has occurred in Israel.
Oh, absolutely. The approach to finding the balance between dealing with the health crisis and preventing the economy from serious long-term damage is very similar. The Trump's approach and Netanyahu's approach, being two individuals who believe very strongly in the strong economies that we have. Israel has a very strong economy. We're a much smaller country, but yes, we have built up a very solid economic framework, and as has President Trump states. So the approaches are very similar. There are attempts to provide a safety net for business community that is being adversely affected by this crisis.
We're talking with former Mayor David Rubin from Shiloh, Israel, regarding the impact of the coronavirus and other things regarding the state of Israel. Mayor Rubin, I'm just curious as to if you could give us kind of like your overview in terms of what the people on the street, how they're behaving with regard to this. I know you mentioned something about no handshakes and things like that, but are we seeing lots of people wearing masks and rubber gloves, or is it business as usual for people on the street? Are they using the opportunity, as Israelis will do at times, to maybe go out to restaurants a little bit more and get a little more fun out of life if they have the opportunity?
Well, we are very resilient people, and we do continue our lives as best we can. So there are people in the restaurants, for sure. There are people going out, absolutely. But at the same time, there are people taking precautions. You know, people are taking precautions that I described. You won't see people, hardly anyone, walking around outside with a mask on the face or with gloves, other than to keep their hands warm. Anyone who has the coronavirus for some reason was allowed to go out momentarily, they have to have a mask on. For example, we had this election. People who were under quarantine were permitted to vote. They had to go to a specific voting station, but they had to go out with a mask, and there were certain restrictions placed on them. But for the most part, those people are quarantined 24 hours, 24/7.
So how does that quarantine work? Like, if you're arriving in the country and you're willing to endure the 14-day self-quarantine in whatever accommodations you have already been able to show to the country upon entry that you have access to such a facility, does this mean that, you know, somebody is watching the door to make sure that you stay behind closed doors at all times? If you sneak out to grab some groceries or something, is there a chance you can be arrested and be deported? What's the ramifications of playing fast and loose with the idea of being in self-quarantine?
Yeah, don't even try it. There was just a case today where an Israeli citizen who was in quarantine, and he was told that he has to be in quarantine. He came out from his quarantine without any kind of permission or go ahead, with no green light. And inspectors came, and they had a bit of a scuffle, and he was given a very heavy fine for the trouble that he made for the inspectors. There are inspectors now. This is something that they still call it self-quarantine, but because people do it in their own homes or separate place if they have a separate place. This is not something. It's something that's being taken very seriously by the authorities, and it's something that's being taken very seriously by the people. And there is no way that anyone is permitted to come here and say that they're going into self-quarantine and then to play around with the rules. Not only would they be caught by the authorities, but people would report them.
I guess last question for you, Mayor Rubin, would be with regard to the Orthodox Jewish communities within Israel. Are there greater restrictions? Is there any difficulty in trying to administer quarantine when you have people that insist on having, you know, religious services and things like that? How is that being handled policy-wise by Israel?
Oh, no, that does not change anything. The religious gatherings you might have in a synagogue have been restricted to 100 people. Any congregation that has more than 100 people is not permitted to hold services. They have to break up the services, 50 people at a time, or even less. And that is something that is being adhered to by all of the communities in Israel.
And then what about religious tourism, visitors to the Western Wall and to other religious sites within Israel? These are being severely restricted as well?
Well, there too. It depends on where they are. If it's outdoors, like the Western Wall is, then there are no restrictions as long as it stays within the limit of 100 people. But there is a part. partially indoor area at the Western Wall, where the restrictions are even tighter. So that's where we stand at this point. But it's been a very fluid situation. It seems like every 2 to 3 days, or maybe even every day, there is a new restriction placed on the public. And I'm happy to say that people are accepting it lovingly and understand that there is a national responsibility here. There's even an international responsibility that we all have. And we have to work together, and we have to be willing to sacrifice for the public good.
Words to live by. Mayor David Rubin from Shiloh, Israel, joining us here on Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Mayor, thanks again for giving us a call. We will hopefully be able to chat again soon under better circumstances.
Well, I agree with that. Thank you, Sanford.
You bet.
Okay.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. When you see one of our trucks rolling down the road in Yavapai County, that's not just a fresh tank of propane. That's the warmth the family will feel this winter. The heat that'll cook their meals, wake them up to hot coffee, and dry the clothes they wear. For 3 generations, people have associated our name with the comfort provided by clean burning propane. 67 years of touching the lives of families in Yavapai County. You can find out more at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
It's the $250,000 Zoom Ball cash giveaway, and it's bouncing into Cliff Castle Casino Hotel. Saturdays in March and April from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. every hour, one lucky guest will have a chance to play Zoom Ball. Get 6 red balls and win $250,000 in cash. Start earning entries for your chance to win and zoom in every Saturday in March and April for the $250,000 Zoom Ball cash giveaway. Only at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel.
Must be 21 and a Players Club member to participate. See Players Club for details.
Do you want a chance to win a free lunch at Prescott Brewing Company? Just check our website or follow us on Facebook to find out this week's lucky lunch letters. We draw them every Friday, and if the letters we draw match your first and last name initials, yay, you win a free lunch the following Tuesday. Or find out the old-fashioned way, just pick up the phone and call us at 771-2795. Prescott Brewing Company, in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Cheers to 25 years.
Hey, Bruce, what are you doing?
I'm waiting for the Catmobile.
The Catmobile? Do you mean Diverti Lynx?
Not so loud, Rudy. It's just a disguise. No Mere Bus runs 7 days a week, providing commuter service between Cottonwood and Sedona.
Diverti Lynx does.
That's because it's really the Catmobile. Here it comes now, prowling the streets of the Verde Valley to keep us safe. You can check it out yourself at www.ridecat.com. But don't tell anybody.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And just enough time to say thank you to Laura Lee Nye from the town of Prescott Valley, talking about the census, and David Rubin, the mayor of Shiloh, Israel. Talk of the Town will be back next week. We have Let's Talk Sports coming your way at 4, and Mark Levin coming up next. So don't go away. There's more Talk of the Quad Cities waiting for you right here on KQ&A. I'm Sanford Cohen, and be safe, everybody.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Cottonwood Area Transit, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Annie Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employers, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.